the Launch, part of the Extra Points Podcast Network. Cousin Sal coming to you on a Tuesday morning. Spaghetti and meatballs, fiddling with the knobs behind the glass. Babyface Joel Solomon producing this mess. And joining me, as always, my wizards of wagering, my gurus of gambling, my barons of betting, my overlords of the odds, the degenerate trifecta, Harry, Brother Bry, and Darren, the parlay kid. What is happening, fellas?
What's going on, Sal?
What's up, Sal?
What's going on, buddy?
Lots of football to talk, lots of basketball, big Nets, Warriors matchup tonight, lots of wrestling. Drew McIntyre is joining us for an interview. He's part of Survivor Series this Sunday on pay-per-view. Team Raw versus Team SmackDown. Jobber turned superstar, Drew McIntyre. Very excited to have beaten Harry in fantasy. He ran his mouth. He dug up the history. Of course, only the history that benefits him. Not the fact that I had like more points in six of the last 8 years or something crazy.
That got you fired up. Wow. Okay.
It did. It did. And then he cried about Chubb being, I don't know what Chubb would have had to done. He actually ended up losing by 30 because Deebo Samuel, top three receiver in the league right now, did his job. Boy. Harry, what do you have to say for yourself?
No, I know you got me this week, but boy, it's been a nightmare with injuries. You know how fantasy goes. I've been getting crushed. And Chubb, if there's one player out there that's been up and down all season, that was a first rounder, Nick Chubb. Come on. It's either COVID, either he has a good game, or he's injured. It's just ridiculous. Then you get the points with D'Ernest Johnson, who had a pretty good game. And I had also at the beginning, Njoku, wide open, drops, gets the ball knocked out of his hands for the touchdown. That set the tone there, too. So, yeah, you got me on that.
All right.
You got me this
Nick
week.
Nick Chubb, you stop getting COVID and stop getting injured. These are rare things that happen in the NFL.
First-round pick. You better stop.
Harry, screwing Harry over here. The brothers went at it. Brother Brian, Parlay Kid. I know no one cares about this, but Parlay Kid, you lost by one to Brother Brian. Something was in the air. I won two matchups by one. Yeah. Including against Barstool's Kelly in Vegas, who owes me $500, asking for my Venmo right now. Good job by me. I won by less than a point because I had Cooper Kupp come through. But Parlay Kid, you suffered a couple weird losses. We'll get to those.
Yeah, I had two bad fantasy losses, Sal. Two terrible fantasy losses. I think I had like a 99% chance of winning in both leagues. And yeah. I lost both. I mean, it was incredible. Almost impossible to happen. But yeah, it did. So whatever.
Well, Derek, you were what against me? You were down what with? You were down six points
with Henderson and the Rams D. Had five at the half and got zero in the second half.
I checked,
and it was never close. It wasn't even like. It was never close, so whatever.
And they were losing the game, and I was like, oh, man, Henderson. I think I bet him under – what did I do at halftime? I did with Martin and Dave. I had that he'd have under 46.5 rushing yards in the second half or overall. That was one of the few things that hit for me. All right, we're going to recap the 49ers and Rams. 49ers bury the Rams 31-10. I mean, it's one of those games like 3 minutes in. You're like, oh, yeah, that's right. I got the wrong side. I had the wrong side with everything. I had the Rams. I had, what the hell else? I had Henderson. I don't remember. Parlay Kid, you hit on Kittle first touchdown, which, by the way, if you just bet our picks for first touchdown, we spent a lot of time, so I want you to listen to this, please. First touchdown was what, Parlay Kid? 11-1 for Kittle?
11-1. Yes, sir.
Okay, we've hit that. Now, we've done what, Bri? 10 weeks worth of Thursday night and Monday night first touchdown picks, except for the first week, right? There was no Monday game. Okay, so 10
weeks.
Well,
no, we just missed that Thursday. That Thursday night, we didn't give up. Yep.
That's right. Okay, so we've done, so let's say it's 76 units. I don't want to make this complicated, but 10 weeks times two games times four picks for each of us. That's 80. We missed one, so that's 76. Here, it has to add to 76. So we're already at 11 with Kittle, 11-1. I gave Daniel Jones first touchdown, 19-1. Sam Darnold, sorry, Harry, 24-1. James Robinson hit, plus 950. Taylor, which Taylor? Is that Marjorie
Jonathan.
Taylor? Oh, Jonathan
John
Taylor.
Taylor.
Jonathan Taylor, plus 650. Derrick Henry, plus 550. DK Metcalf, plus 850. Tyreek Hill, 5-1. The Dolphins, Harry picked last week, didn't bet it himself, 39-1. And now we have Kittle, 11-1. That's somewhere in the range of plus. All right, even if you didn't take Harry's dumb Dolphins pick there, which was a spite pick, we're still like plus 54 units, right, Bri? Spectacular.
Well, yeah, I mean, we're, yeah, well, we're plus 60, right?
61, we're, but if 61. We're not smart enough to figure out if we have to back out the original bet. So we're somewhere in the range of plus 50 units. Just bet what we're doing here on the first touchdowns. And it's a fun bet, right?
Yeah, yeah, we've given out nine winners through.
Beautiful.
Yeah, nine winners through 19
We
games.
Give one a week, basically, is what it comes down to. All right, but Parlay Kid.
Nice.
All that said, you had a midweek, well, not midweek, to start off the week with a bed ache. You had Stafford rushing over 2.5 yards. This quarterback rushing prop, it's either a really easy win or a terrifying ordeal. It's almost like landing a plane for a pilot, right? It's like, ah, this is easy or breezy or whatever. I won, I lost. What happened with Stafford? Take us through that craziness.
Well, listen, so it's late in the game, right? The game's kind of decided already. And then, look, I'm not a player bash. I don't like to bash coaches and players. I know that their job is difficult enough. But Stafford showed something to me yesterday that, you know what, Sal? He was selfish. He was thinking about his stats, and he wanted to throw a touchdown pass. He could have walked into the end zone for a touchdown. Instead, he goes like 3 yards over the line of scrimmage, which, by the way, I needed him over 2.5 yards rushing. If he literally just stopped running at the point where he threw the ball, he goes over for the for his rushing yards. Instead, he gets like 3 yards past the line of scrimmage. Probably could have just like dove into the end zone, I felt like at that point. And he throws a ball 10 feet over a receiver's head out of the end zone. So they get, not only he gets no yards, he gets no touchdown. They back him up. They lose the down. They back him up 10 yards. And to me, it was a selfish play. He was looking to boost his touchdown, get a cheap touchdown late, rather than run one in, because nobody cares about quarterbacks running them in.
Yeah.
Right, Harry? Because we talked about that with Darnold. Nobody cares. He wanted to throw one, and he screwed me over.
You know, it was because
he's selfish. And Stafford, Stafford, we got to start examining these guys. Stafford, you know, guys, you know, the guy makes a lot of money.
Sure.
When has he ever won a big game? Like, sorry.
Oh, I love it.
Now I'm pissed off. Yeah. When has he ever won a big game, Stafford? I know he played for some lousy Lions teams, but he's still, you know, he was never won. It's terrible on Thanksgiving all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when he was in the spotlight.
Can't handle the big time, D.
And look, his receivers sucked last night. They were terrible too.
Yeah, they were.
So
dropping
But he just doesn't. He does not look sure of himself. I don't know what it is.
You said this, and I appreciate the bonus betting you gave us there. But Rob Parker, who used to host a podcast on this network, and then I think he got arrested for public urination or something. We had to let him go. But I don't. Rob Parker covered Detroit sports for years and years and years, and still a keen insider on Midwest and Detroit sports. He used to call him Pad Stafford. And that's just what you're talking about, Parlay Kid. Always padding the stats, always coming from behind. But now you can't do that with the Rams, a team expected to win, and he particularly expected to get over 2.5 yards rushing.
Rob
couldn't pull it off.
Yeah, you know what? And Rob Parker, I didn't know about that, but Rob Parker and I have talked before, and him and I think alike, and absolutely, he nailed
Pat
that
Stafford.
One. Look. Now McVay's got another problem. I mean, I thought this Rams team was winning the Super Bowl.
Right.
They've looked terrible.
But yeah, man, I don't know what to
get
think.
The yards. Get the 2.5 yards. Get in the end zone.
The funny thing about that prop is that he actually gets credit for the 1 yard rushing there. So Parley Kid's right. Like, even if he just throws the ball after he's run 3 yards, they still would have counted it because penalty is after the play.
That's so terrible.
That's really bad.
He literally, like, I don't know, like he was. It was almost like the way
Deshaun Jackson
reacted the other day.
Yeah, right.
Like,
turning into the
like, what are you doing? Like, just get the yards in front of you.
Oh, man. With Brother Bri adding that little nugget there, it almost seems personal now, Parlay Kid. I mean, that is weird. I don't know that too many people have over two and a half yards rushing. No, it's personal.
I don't know.
We know.
I like McVay a lot.
Yeah.
But I don't know. This is a quarterback league. Man, I think some of these quarterbacks, I know Brian's quarterback and Carr. Like, I watch these guys. Like, one good performance, two or three, like, average to below.
We got the best one, Parlay Kid. We got the best one. Dak Prescott is the most most consistent one of all. Yeah, it's weird because I know a lot of people hate the parity. And there is parity more so this year, I think, than previous years, even in fantasy. I pointed out to our division, nobody cares, but there's one team 7-3, other team 3-7. Everybody else is in between. But usually after 10 weeks, we have a team that's either undefeated or one loss. Got none of that. Got 7-2 teams, got 8-2 teams, and then a lot of mixed and matching and about 3 or 4 bad teams. But I'll say this, it does seem like everybody is where we thought they'd be, right? I mean, with a couple of exceptions, the Packers are going to win their division. Cowboys will win theirs. The Bucs are going to win theirs. Arizona and the Rams could battle it out. The Chiefs are back after giving us 2 months of agita. The Titans will win that terrible South. Ravens are right at the top of the North and the Bills. So I don't know. I don't know what to think, but it has opened up with the 49ers being 4-5. I wanted to look at the 6th and 7th seed in the NFC. Now we can go over this for the next 6 weeks, but the way I see it, the 4 division winners, right? Plus the Rams or the Cardinals, right? I would say they're almost definitely in, although the Rams didn't show us much, but this exercise, it's got to be that. So the only other minus, the only other favorite to make the playoffs in the NFC is the Saints at minus 150.
Yep.
They might make it. They might not. I'll include the Saints. What's the best value for a team to make the playoffs? Either the 6th or 7th seed. Saints minus 150. Vikings next plus 138. 49ers, who are now 4-5, plus 176. Eagles plus 240. Panthers plus 360. Falcons 420. Seahawks seem to be dead, but who the hell knows? Plus 430. Brother Bri, I'll let you go first here.
Yeah, I like the 49ers at plus 176, although I could say, did they tease us last night, right, into thinking they are good? I thought they were going to be good this year. They've let me down every time I bet them, so it only made sense for them to look great last night. But if you look at their schedule, all winnable games, especially the next 5, I'm not really sold on the Falcons. I'm not really sold on Carolina. You know, who really knows with that QB situation? And I'm not even 100% sure. I don't even know when you brought up the Saints too. I'm not really 100% sure on them either, especially with Simeon as their quarterback. So to me, the 49ers though, just have the most upside to all of a sudden be like, oh yeah, they are really good. I think you can't say that about any other team. San Francisco is the one team that potentially all of a sudden, I mean, they could look like dog shit too, but they could also, they're a team that could make a run in the playoffs if everything worked out for them. So I think a plus 176 with 2 spots kind of open, you know, over these next couple of games, they could make a little bit of a run.
Yeah, I'm trying to think, like, all these teams have looked bad, right? In 1 or 2 or maybe more games. But who has looked the best against a good team? I guess the 49ers' performance last night is up there. The Vikings, I think, at plus 138 have to be up there. As scattered brain team that is, you have to think that, you know, they look good the last couple of weeks. Harry, you're going with the Vikings, right? You've been pushing them all year.
I'm not. I'm jumping on board with Brian. I'm taking the Niners. Look, Jimmy G has been solid of late. 6 touchdowns, just 1 pick last 3 games. And I loved how last night when they could have just ran the ball in the 4th quarter, they go for the dagger and he gets the 40-yard touchdown to Samuel, who's been fantastic this year. The guy's been amazing, really. And having Kittle healthy now, what a formidable duo those two are. And Brian mentioned the schedule. Jacksonville, Minnesota, Seattle, the next 3. They also have Atlanta and Houston in there. Play the Rams in the last week of the season. McVay's now 0-5 against Shanahan. Shanahan has his number. So that game might not mean anything for the Rams there, so it might mean a lot for the 49ers. I'm jumping on the Niners, too. And plus, Carolina, Sal, you thought maybe I'd go with them. They still have Buffalo, New Orleans, and Tampa.
Yeah, all right, we'll get to schedule. That. Thank you. We have to read everybody's schedule in the league. Well, yeah, but it's true. The Jags, Seahawks, Falcons, Texans is as easy a slate as you're going to get at any of these teams, and that's what the Niners are. It seems like everyone has the Falcons on their schedule, except, unfortunately for them, the Falcons don't get to play themselves, and who the hell knows what kind of product they put up. But, Parley Kid, you and I like the Panthers here. I just think the money is a little out of whack. Plus 360. And I think they kind of have to win the next 3. Panthers, Dolphins. I'm sorry. Who they play this week? They have the Dolphins, Falcons, and
Washington.
And the team, week, Washington so. Team. Right. So that's the Ron Rivera Bowl. So Washington, Miami, Atlanta. They end with Bills, Bucks, and Saints. That's tough. But second overall defense, right? We're banking on their defense here and maybe some Cam Newton brilliance. First against the pass, they only allow 173 passing yards per game. You're going to be in almost every game if that defense shows up, right?
I agree with that, Sal. Plus 360 to make the playoffs. I have them to make the playoffs anyway. And I think they can mix and match this quarterback situation to what suits them best. A little Newton, a little Walker. I don't know whatever happens to Darnold, but their defense, there have been games where their defense just seems to be all over the field. They fly around the field, making plays, making life really difficult for the opposition. And let's not forget, they really do have one of the best offensive players in the game when he's healthy, and Christian McCaffrey. If he stays healthy for the rest of the year, I think that's the big thing here. If he's healthy and they get him for the rest of the season, I really like this value at plus 360 on Carolina.
It's interesting. It's a lot of fun teams out there to bet, but oh man, like every other week, you're right. They play like a junior high school squad. All right, coach of the year. Let's go over these odds real quick. I know we do it every, it seems every week, but there's been a change at the top. It was the Chargers coach Staley for the longest time. I didn't really understand it. And now it's Vrabel, the Tennessee Titans coach, plus 400. Mike McCarthy second. What the hell's going on here? Mike McCarthy second, plus 550. I don't know, Harry. I don't like Vrabel there. You like him at 4-1?
I do. I mean, 8-2, best record in the AFC, tied for the best record in the NFL. 4-1 on the road, 5-1 in conference, won 6 in a row, and last two without Derrick Henry, which is pretty amazing. Tannehill, not great numbers here, still getting it done. And defensively, 27 sacks so far this season. They had a total of 19 last year. That's where it's changed. Harold Landry, best season of his career, 10 sacks already. They gave up 28 points a game last year. This season, 23, a 5-point difference. And I think Vrabel right now is the guy, especially without Henry in the lineup, and they're winning the games.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, their defense has turned it around. It's kind of what the Cowboys have done too, right? In addition to the high power offense, Henry out, he gets a little credit for that, but I don't, just being in the AFC South, I gotta ding him a little bit. Can the AFC South coach get coach of the year? Like, was Ron Rivera in the running last year, going 7-9, like leading the Washington team to a division title? I think your prize in that division is maybe getting a bye because you're playing on shit teams all the time, right?
Well, they've also looked really good against Buffalo, looked good against Kansas City, and rolled the Rams last week.
I hate that team. All right, Brother Bry, you like LaFleur. He's done a good job. They're going to have a ton of wins again. I think he could have won the game against the Chiefs if he had a better game plan for Jordan Love. But other than that, he's done a great job with that team.
Yeah, and when you're talking about Vrabel, too, I think, yeah, he has a matchup. I mean, they play the Pats, right, the following week. But I do think if Tennessee gets the one seed, it might be deserving for them just because Tennessee does have the best wins, I think, this year when you look at all the teams.
They're probably going to get the one seed. The rest of the way isn't too bad.
Yeah.
And Brian, not a lot of stuff out of Julio Jones either.
But nothing. Yeah. Well, he's been, yeah. And I mean, again, it could come down to that Patriot game.
Texans times two, Dolphins, Jags still left at the Steelers. Mm-hmm. Who knows what that is? And then the Patriots, you're right. Yeah.
But I wanted to give LaFleur a little bit of love at 14-1. You know, this is a team that's probably the favorite. You know, they're the favorite right now to be the one seed again in the NFC. And after all the drama in the offseason, that terrible week one, right? People started to write them off after week one. So, I always feel like he has a good game plan in terms of running the ball and throwing the ball. He wins the close games. I mean, the fact that you could hold the Chiefs down to 13 points and have a chance of winning that game with Love at QB, who was terrible in that game anyway, just says a lot about him. As long as he's not kicking field goals, again, down 8 in a playoff game. It hurts him a little bit. But, I just think at 14-1, and I don't know, Harry always says this award lately has been going to the best looking coaches. So it's possible he should win
it's
here.
It's so cruel. All these guys we named are better than Mike McCarthy, but I guess it doesn't matter, right? Like they're not going to analyze like two minute game drills and stuff like that. It's just your record at the end of the day, which should have gotten Bill Belichick the award. I don't know. One parlay kid in the last 10 years. He's 12-1 odds. I got him at 18-1. I think you bet him too, parlay kid. I'll let you take the analysis. We both like Belichick at 12-1, but because the Patriots are your favorite team in sports, better than the Islanders and the Knicks and the Cowboys for sure. Go ahead, take it away.
Belichick. Yeah, well, they're the only franchise right now that I have a soft spot for in terms of a second team. I hate every other team. Patriots,
that's so
crazy.
That's so crazy. You're a New Yorker. You should hate these Boston Patriots.
I know, probably because I don't root for the Giants or Jets here. So I don't, right. The Patriots don't really kill me here. You know, but that being said, we both have Belichick at 18-1. I've been touting Belichick all year. I'm looking at the Patriots schedule the rest of the way. I think they're getting at least 4 wins, which gets them to 10. I think they can get to 5. And if they go 11-6 here, I think Belichick's got a really good shot. So I think 10 is a guarantee for them. I think if they get to 11, I think this 12-1 value is still really good. And I think in this head-to-head matchup, and I'll be coming back with this in a few weeks, I think the Pats smack the Titans around. And if Belichick beats Vrabel, scratch Vrabel off. He can't get it over Belichick. Especially if Belichick goes on to win like 11 games. He cannot get it in a head-to-head matchup. I think Belichick is going to school Vrabel in that game in 2 weeks. So, because the Titans are going to win this week. They're going to win. They've been, you know, and they're due for a loss. They're going to go in to Foxborough and get smacked down.
I agree with you. I think that would cross Vrabel off the list. But I still think they have to win the division for Belichick to win it.
Yeah, I don't know if you have to win. I really don't know if you got to win.
If they lose by a field goal, that doesn't scratch Vrabel off the list.
I don't know if you got to win the division anymore.
What about a safety?
Maybe.
I think the coaches should be judged on, you know, a lot of it is, you know, what their win loss are, you know, over under was and how much.
I guess you're right. Did Stefanski win last year? He did. Okay. So they were a wild card, right? Am I crazy? Oh, no. They won the. Wait, no, the Steelers won that division.
No, they were a wild card.
They were a wild card.
The Steelers were a wild card?
No, Cleveland.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
There you go.
Yeah,
you go.
Okay. All right. Let's regroup. I want to talk to you about FanDuel. All right. The NBA is back. One of the things I love about betting on basketball is that I'm always finding new player or game props that I like. And that's what's cool about FanDuel Sportsbook. You can combine these props with other bets to form a same game parlay, score an even bigger payout. 76ers, Jazz. Harry, give me a Jazz prop right now. Right now.
Gobert over rebound.
Gobert over rebounds. Parlay kid, 76ers prop. Just to win the game?
No. I always like to take the Tobias Harris over rebounds prop, Sal.
All right.
I take that a lot.
Gobert rebounds over. Tobias Harris rebounds over. Brother Bri.
I can do anything?
Anything. Yeah, anything that falls on the same game parlay.
Let's do... Mitchell, what do we got? Mitchell threes.
All right. Mitchell threes over?
Yeah, over 3.5 threes.
There you go. All right. So that'll get you about 6-1 odds right there. Same game parlay. Do it. Love betting NBA action. FanDuel, fast payouts, little as 2 hours. Easy to use and place bets. Fun prop markets can be combined into same game parlay. Safe and secure. It's why FanDuel is America's number one sports book. Yes, all customers check out FanDuel daily for exclusive NBA same game parlays, focused offers like TNT Tuesdays. And new to FanDuel Sportsbook? Yeah, they're also offering new users a risk-free $1,000 bet. Just sign up with promo code against all odds. And if your first bet loses, you get up to $1,000 back in site credit. Promo code against all odds, FanDuel Sportsbook. Check it out. All right, let's bring in our guest. You can see him at Survivor Series live this Sunday on Peacock and the WWE Network, coming to you from the Barclays Center in Brooklyn. Yes, he's the WWE's best-looking man in a kilt since Rowdy Roddy Piper, Drew McIntyre, the Chosen One. Thanks for being here.
No, thank you for having me. You know all about Rowdy Roddy Piper. I remember the last thing you two were tagging.
That's right. Do they talk about that in the dressing room a lot? My match with Santino Marella back in, 2008? I imagine it's still big news.
Well, sure. I mean, I think about it a lot, at least.
Okay, that's good enough for me. Drew, we're primarily a football podcast. We complain a lot about the refs. But I have to say, I've been watching Raw and SmackDown. The officiating in wrestling is just awful. It's really never been worse. Do you agree? Foreign objects, undetected, refs distracted by managers. Is it worse for you, or do you not want to say? Will you get fined if you say anything on this podcast?
I say pretty much whatever I think, and I have to agree with you. The refs are bloody useless 95% of the time.
Okay, good. Good. That's how I saw it. All right, Survivor Series this Sunday. Always one of the best WWE events. People don't realize it's the second oldest annual event, only behind WrestleMania. Did you watch Survivor Series? Do you remember watching it growing up?
Oh, yeah. I watched absolutely everything I get my hands on. You know, everybody thinks in Scotland, you know, we just run around in the hills and kilts, drinking whiskey and eating haggis, which is true. But we also have modern technology and modern shows. And when I was a kid, we did a WWE, WWF at the time, and I watched it every single week. And everything I get my hands on, I was watching, including the big four pay-per-views, the WrestleMania, Survivor Series, Royal Rumble, and SummerSlam.
That's terrific. And you're part of, like I said, a huge match, Team Raw versus your squad, Team SmackDown. I have to say, now you guys are one guy short. You're going to announce on SmackDown Friday who your fifth, well, your fourth partner, who makes up the fifth. On it. It's Seth Rollins, Finn Balor, Kevin Owens, Rey Mysterio, and Bobby Lashley versus you, Xavier Woods, Jeff Hardy, and Happy Corbin. Team Raw is pretty stacked. I list them as the favorites. Do you know who you're going to be adding?
I don't know who we're going to be adding, but I've got some thoughts on the matter. Mm-hmm. You know, if I was going to pick the last member of the team, I'd probably go for somebody I've known for 20 years. You know, we come up the ranks together in Europe before we both get signed to WWE. You know, we traveled all across Europe. I was 19 years old at the time. He was about 47 years old at the time. He's a little bit on in years. We've been on and off friendship, but I know how dangerous he is in the ring. And I would add Sheamus because I know what he's capable of physically. And us together on the same team would wreak havoc all over the Team Raw. I almost said Team SmackDown. I'm still not used to being on SmackDown. I was on Raw for so many years. Mm-hmm. But Team SmackDown. Team SmackDown this Sunday.
Yeah, that's well. So shit, why don't you just add Sheamus? Or can you not add Sheamus? You're not able to.
I mean, I don't know if I get that call. I mean, I've been away from SmackDown for 2 weeks. I was just in Europe there, just at the MTV Europe Awards on Sunday. So I missed SmackDown this past Friday. But when I get into SmackDown this Friday, live in Hartford, I'm going to probably start swinging my big sword around. Anyone that doesn't watch the show, I've got about a 6-foot sword I carry to the ring. I'm going to swing that bad boy about and get our team right.
Okay, good. That seems scary enough to inspire anybody. Let me ask you this. If you could add one partner, to the fifth, to make it your fifth, from his or her prime, from history, who do you choose?
From the prime in history? Probably Stone Cold Steve Austin. When he was on fire at the top of his game. He wasn't losing too many matches. That stunner was beating everybody.
Okay, that's the wrong answer. The answer is Rowdy Roddy Piper. I mean, we gave you a nice hint to begin with.
Yeah, Piper. Yeah, actually, you know, Piper wasn't losing too many matches too, especially to Hogan.
He would not get him over. He wouldn't do it. You were, I know, you know, I'm a big fan of Rowdy Roddy Piper. I was good friends with him. Luckily, meeting him was probably top five moments of my life for sure. You said earlier in the year, they tried to work an angle with you and Roddy, right?
Yeah, Roddy actually did when I was younger, mm-hmm. in my early 20s. We started building a relationship. Which was crazy to me to get so close to somebody I grew up admiring so much. Of course, I was like finding out Santa Claus, you know, wasn't real when I found out he wasn't from Scotland. But we built a relationship over the phone. He gave me some great advice. He'd watch my stuff at the time. And looking back now, I had such a long way to go. If it did materialize, maybe it wouldn't have been the best thing, but I would have learned a lot. But nonetheless, I got to speak to him on the phone all the time. As you know, he was such an amazing human being, and he knew this industry inside and out, and he really helped me out a lot. And I wish he was still around today to see how far I've been able to come.
He would have been proud of you for sure. Yes, like you mentioned, you're born in Ayr, Scotland. Is that how you say it? A-Y-R, right?
That's close. Ayr? Like Ayr? Fresh air.
Damn, I was going to go with Ayr. And Roddy was born in Saskatoon, Canada. But yes,
basically the same place.
Yeah, it's the same, but six of one. Yeah, and you both wore kilts. You know, I was such a big fan. I would wear a kilt to, like, these guys know, Madison Square Garden and Nassau Coliseum. And my Aunt Joan made me a kilt, my father's sister. And then I came home one semester from middle school, and I had all across the board in a progress report uncooperative behavior in class because I would talk like Rowdy Roddy Piper and I would yell at the teachers. And then all of a sudden the kilt disappeared. I couldn't find it. I think my father took it for a ride, much like he did the pet cat that he got sick of. So
I guess the question is, were you being a true Scotsman when you're running around to school in that kilt?
No, you know what? It was cold. I had to take the train to Penn Station. So yeah, I couldn't.
That's no excuse. You're the boys in Scotland.
You're right. That was the problem.
No underpants allowed.
Hey, you go to Vince McMahon and Vince gives you the nickname, the Chosen One. What was it like meeting him for the first time? Was it intimidating, different than you expected? Were you expecting something a little more out there, like the dog catcher or the calligrapher, or were you happy with the Chosen One?
I mean, I love the Chosen One thing. For anyone that doesn't know, Vince McMahon, the head of WWE and wrestling as we know it, went on television, announced myself as somebody who reminded him of him, a future world champion, the future of this industry. So it was insane to be given that title of the Chosen One. Things didn't work out. I had to go through some ups and downs to get to where I'm at today. Mm-hmm. But the first time I met him was a couple of years before that. I'd just been signed to WWE. I was in catering. I just arrived in America. I was literally at university 3 weeks prior, like in my dorm watching wrestling. And suddenly I'm part of the roster. I'm in catering. I'm sitting there eating my food, looking around going, oh my God, there's The Undertaker. Oh my God, there's Batista. Oh my God, I'm in the same roster. And I turn back in front of me and Vince McMahon sits down. We have this back and forth conversation for about 5 minutes. He's just asking me, you know, how I'm settling in, how I'm enjoying myself. And he's looking forward to the future. And I'm speaking at him. And every time I speak at him, he gets a funny look at his face. Then he speaks and he leaves the table. And I finally realized at the time, my accent was 100 times thicker than it is right now.
Wow.
I mumble in general. And I went, oh my God, he didn't understand a word I just said. I've ruined my entire WWE career in one conversation with Vince. So that was my first meeting with him. And I was convinced he had no idea what I said.
Well, you know what? A lot of heels were you couldn't tell exactly anything. And the Iron Sheik went for many, many decades and you couldn't understand a word he said. But, it works.
You just understand the important words.
That's true. Yes.
That's right. It's the swears.
You made out jabroni every 2.5 minutes. It was a win. Hey, how much fun of The Miz did you make about his time on Dancing with the Stars?
Oh, I thought he did a great job, actually. I was getting ready to rip him to shreds because in the ring, the best times is, that's a nice way to say it, because he's done very well for himself. He has not one athletic bone in his body. That's a nice way to say it. But and no timing half the time. But to watch him on Dancing with the Stars, he did a hell of a job. So I can't say anything negative because I know I cannot dance one bit and I'd be terrible on that show. So props to him.
I know, you're right. I wanted to make fun of him and I'd send him a message every week and he would laugh. But he would do a good job. My wife and I will watch him and he made it further than I thought for sure. Damn it. You know, things are like handed to you on a silver platter.
Yeah, I was ready to rip into shreds.
Right.
Yeah, can't do it.
Do you have any sports teams you've adopted since moving here to America full time?
Yeah, I mean, I had a few teams work on me. I lived in Tampa, Florida for over 10 years. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I had the Bucks work on me for a while and, you know, I never really got into it. And I always thought of American football as rugby with pads on. Until the past few years when I really started paying attention and started to understand, you know, the tactics that are involved, the physicality and wearing the pads, the players tend to go a lot harder to each other and the injuries that are caused. So I got a greater appreciation for it. So I followed the Bucks in the season, you know, they won the Super Bowl when Brady came in. Wasn't fully a fan. Then I moved to Nashville and the Predators, the hockey team, they really started getting me. They got myself and my wife along, Seamus and his girl along. We got front row. We got to watch hockey up close. And there's a sport where I was like, my goodness, the talent involved in this, the skill involved in this, to be skating the whole game, trying to get your stick on this little tiny puck involved with the physicality involved. I was very, very impressed. I got to meet, you know, the manager, all the staff and all the players after the game. And I think the Predators might have me. They might have, you know, won me over, swung me enough that I'm going to be a Predators fan.
You know, I have to say, you have a lot in common with the Predators, right? Like started from nothing. I don't want to embarrass you, but you were what they would call in the industry a jobber, right? You would kind of lose. And then I don't know what hit you. All of a sudden, you're winning. You're the WWE champion. It's kind of like the Predators rise to greatness. Did you maybe take something from them?
I do now because I didn't know the story. But yeah, I mean, what happened with me to wake me up was I got fired. So, you know, I spent 8 years with WWE, living my dream. Somewhere along the line, you know, things went way off track and I had to get fired to gain some perspective, understand that it was my dream job and I wasn't giving it my all. That's what changed my mentality. I started working my arse off for 3 years, got back to WWE, made it to the top. But I didn't know their story too. So there we go. Maybe that's where that there connection came from.
You know what?
Subconsciously. So now I know.
Maybe that's our next 30 for 30 documentary. We're going to do you alongside the Predators and see the various similarities. All right, Eddie Spaghetti, I want you to jump on here. One of our producers here. Can we see, can we show you to Drew for a second? This is Eddie Spaghetti, good sized guy, right? Young guy. He claims he could beat up just about any athlete. I mean, every week.
I never said that. Just one miniature athlete on the Houston Astros, a baseball player. That's it.
Okay. I don't remember the details. What are your dimensions, though, Spaghetti? Tell Drew.
Right now, I'm probably like 6'2", 235, 240.
6'2", 240. Can he take, let's say, Rey Mysterio in a fight?
No. I'm saying no.
That's a very tough guy. You know, he's been wrestling since he was basically in diapers. It's all he's ever done. And it's not just that he's got the professional wrestling moves. You know, he trained in Lucha Libre in Mexico. He knows where to go for. He's not scared to put a thumb in an eye if it comes to it. But, you know, I'm 6'5", 275 pounds myself, and we've got some salty guys in the roster. If you think you can take everybody, I'll introduce you to a little guy called Brock Lesnar on the roster.
There you go. I'm a beast. And you'll keep
and I'll be him in 5 minutes.
I love it. All right. See, Spaghetti, it's not always the bigger person that wins.
I completely agree with everything Drew said. I would not take on any of those guys.
Drew, Survivor Series is going to be fun. This from the Barclays Center, right there in Brooklyn, Sunday, November 21st. You still have to pick a fifth for your team. Might I recommend Taylor Swift? She takes down men twice her size.
Yeah, I mean, if I can get her to date the guys and dump them and write songs about them over the next few days, break their hearts, we've got it won.
I think that's a perfect match. Do it up. Pay-per-view Sunday, November 21st. Thanks for joining us, Drew.
Well, thanks for having me, lads. Appreciate y'all. Hope to see you on Sunday.
Good luck.
Thanks, awesome. Everybody.
All right.
Good luck.
Good luck.
All right. See, he's fun. See, Spaghetti, I hope you learned something there. I mean, we're not crazy. We're not the crazy ones here.
I mean, the thought of going against Brock Lesnar, let alone Brock Lesnar, but how about, I mean, Rey Mysterio, like you said, like he's been wrestling his whole life. That's an impossible task for me to beat. It's just Altuve. Altuve's going down. Everyone else would have me. No question.
I'd like to see Spaghetti catch on the receiving end of a 619 Rey Mysterio. Mysterio might be smaller than Altuve. I'm not sure. I know he's older. All right. We're going to get that together. In the meantime, let's take a quick break. All right, it's time for Shark Tank. Degenerate Trifecta pitches me their best bet of the evening, either Tuesday or Wednesday. We'll do it again later in the week. Hey, Chris H. follows us on Twitter. Great guy, does a terrific job, except, you know, when he points out how bad we collectively are with our picks. But he did observe, Parlay Kid, that you are something like 16-6 with your Sharp Tank picks after Damashek recommended the suspension.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, man, that?
At least 16-6, maybe 17-6 now. I got to check it out. Right. And a lot of those were plus money wins, too. So, I woke up. I woke up after that suspension.
There you go. Much like Drew McIntyre, right? You're a jobber, and now you're in it to win it. All right.
When he was talking about that, I was thinking of Harry. Maybe Harry needs to be fired.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, that's...
And then maybe he reinvents himself, and comes back.
It's not a terrible idea. It's really not.
You know, he did reinvent himself when he lost 52 pounds before Super Bowl 52, and then he reinvented himself when he gained... 52 and then another 52. I don't know what's going on. But anyway, Parlay Kid, give us your Sharp Tank pick.
Well, all right, Sal. I'm going with my New York Islanders tonight in a game that I don't think a lot of people are giving them a chance to win. They're plus 146 on the money line. I'm taking the money line here with the Islanders. Trotz is excellent in the second of back-to-back games, something like 23-6-5 as the Islanders coach, almost unheard of in hockey to have that type of record. In my mind, I had said if the Islanders could come off this 13-game road trip to start the season with a winning record, that would be good enough. To get a winning record, they have to win tonight. So, things are stacked against them. Panthers are rested. Islanders are not. But I think the Islanders find a way to get this done tonight. They have not played good hockey over the last three games. That's unlike Trotz's type of team. I think Sorokin stands on his head. The Islanders have a little life tonight and get off this 13-game road trip, end it with a win, and come back and open up the Belmont here on Saturday night, which should be an awesome night.
Oh, man, I watched a little of that game against the Lightning last night. Boy, Mikey Meatballs didn't say a word all day, then cursing his head off. Isles, they go up 1-0. They give up a goal like 8 seconds later, and now 2-1. Boy. He is into it. Hockey is here. All right, Brother Bri, the Mac is here also. Tuesday, Mac action.
Yeah, I'm going to go Mac. I mean, I did get my last sharp ting right, but the last Mac game I got wrong, I will say. Yeah, I'm going to go. I'm actually going to go to the game tomorrow. I'm going to go Central Michigan, Ball State, over 59.5. Central Michigan's offense has been really good the last couple of weeks, and their games have been way over. I mean, they had, I think the totals were 77 points in the 77, 72, and 84 in the last three games for them. Ball State will be good defensively, but they've even had, you know, they've had some over games against, you know, their Western Michigan, Eastern Michigan have been some higher scoring games. So I think this is a higher scoring affair. Central Michigan's defense hasn't been very good either. So 59.5 seems too low for me in this game. I like the over.
All right, Harry, you're going a little more mainstream. Game of the night in the NBA, Warriors 11-2, Nets 10-4. Looking up only in the East at the Wizards 11-3. By the way, the Wizards still plus 950 to win the Southeast. I guess that shows you how early in the NBA season we are. But Harry, you like a player prop in the Warriors Nets?
Yeah, let's go Steph Curry over 30.5 points at minus 112. He's on a 5-game run of like zigzagging with big games and small games. And on the 7th of November, he had 20. Then the next day, he had 50 versus Atlanta. Then the next game he came out, he had 25. Then the next game, 40 versus the Bulls. And he had just 24 in the loss against Charlotte on Sunday. So I expect in this intriguing matchup between the Warriors and the Nets, I think Curry tonight goes off a little bit, goes for over 30.5.
All right, I'll go with you, Harry. I have him to win MVP. I think he's like plus 350 now. I got him at 10-1. I think you're right. He tends to show off in some of these games. Parlay kid, maybe he ends up a Nick one day, right? Not that this is in Madison Square Garden.
But that won't happen.
No, you don't see him? You don't want him?
No, I'd love to have him, but...
Oh. That's not going
to
happen.
Good things like that don't happen to the Knicks.
No, I know.
Really good things. Yeah,
it'll never happen. I agree. let's go over 30.5 for Steph Curry. And, you know, I have one I like even better. By the way, Warriors plus 3 against the Nets, 221 is the over. And I'm going Draymond under 7.5 for my own pick, minus 108. This Manning cast curse is real, guys. It is. Yeah, who was on yesterday? Mickelson, Al Michaels. Al Michaels is going to get like the flu or something. He's going to have to sit out a game. Draymond was on yesterday. Phil Rivers, whatever. I don't know what he's running around with 17 kids. But Draymond is the only active player on the Manning cast yesterday. Under 7.5 points. He's going to have 4 fouls with 3 minutes left in the first quarter. And he's not going to see the floor. Minus 108. Brother Brian, you like a player prop here too.
Yeah, and he was actually good, Draymond.
He was really good. He had the guts to admit that he loved football more than basketball. I loved watching it.
Yeah, he said he loved watching football more than basketball. But it was nice. He did a good job, though, like when they were talking about football stuff and comparing that on the basketball side until his mic went out and it sounded like he was deaf for a second.
There are some conspiracy theories about that, where he was plugging a certain podcast at the time for a network rival.
Definitely possible. I thought so, too. I was thinking if that was possible, but then he started pulling his microphone out of his hoodie. So I don't know if that was intentional. But yeah, I like Harden over 9.5 assists. Still kind of low. Last year, the assist totals, sometimes you get 10.5 with Harden, sometimes 11. You know, he's worked himself into better shape. The Nets have been playing better. He's had 10 or more assists in 6 of his last 8 games. He's averaging 12 over his last 3. I think that, you know, this is a big game for him tonight. I think he shows up and plays well.
All right. There you go. So I'll go with Curry over 30.5. Brother Bry likes Harden over 9.5 in that game. And I like Draymond under 7.5. With my own personal pick. All right, that'll do it for another episode. What do we got? We're coming back Thursday. Preview the Thursday night game and Friday. Oh, Parlay Kid, you wanted to mention Harry's like blocking the few followers he has now that support him. And now he's blocking them. What happened there?
Yeah, I don't know it. I mean, this guy Ben Kelly and him go look. They went out for drinks a couple, maybe a year and a half ago or so. I think what happened is Harry stiffed him on the bill. Ben was a little upset about
lie.
It. Whatever,
that's a lie.
Harry, you know, Harry's got alligator arms. We know that. he literally does have alligator arms.
Right.
It's true.
Well,
How much was that dinner in Long Island?
They literally
Darren, how much was that dinner I paid for in Long Island? How much was that one?
What, Harry? What are you talking about?
That was nice. That was nice.
Took the holes of Coley Clan.
I'm pretty sure that was... Why are you blocking this guy? What are you doing?
Well, look, he's blocking Darren, him because Ben calls him out on some nonsense. Mm-hmm. Harry doesn't like it. So what does Harry do? He blocks the guy. The guy's a loyal listener. So we had him on the podcast. He's a loyal listener. And you know what? He's going to take his, he'll go elsewhere now because Harry blocks him. I mean, that's his child stuff. The guy hasn't been terrible to Harry. Harry's been terrible to him.
What did he say, Harry? What broke the...
Harry says stuff about his mother. I mean, this is...
No, that's not me. That's your buddy, Von John.
I think you have said something about his mother. I really do. I think we'll go back.
Look, I can take jokes, obviously, nonstop. Good. I can take it. Listen, if he's going to make jokes and be funny and try to be cute towards me... You got to be witty. You got to be funny. Sure. None of his tweets are funny. They aren't witty. They're dumb. They're just non-intelligent.
I laugh at them. I think they're hilarious.
You just instigate. You're the instigator.
Babyface, Joel Solomon, come in here. You are particularly obsessed with this topic.
I mean, I don't like the criticism about Harry, and just like Lamar Jackson not being good in the pocket. That's not fair. That's Harry. Well, the last time we went out for dinner, Harry paid the tip. So that's not fair.
Joel, if he apologizes and says that he was dead wrong about what I said about Sam Darnold and I've been calling it for 3 years, mm-hmm. maybe even longer, 4 years. That I'll consider unblocking.
Okay.
He's got to admit that I was dead right.
That seems like a fair enough, stupid, but a fair enough deal.
I just want to hear it. Okay. The parlay kid knows I'm dead right on that too.
All right. There you go. That's fine enough. All right. You heard Ben Kelly. And Harry, what's your thing? Like, now Harry, I don't think he's coming to my house for Thanksgiving. All he's talked about is he wants to go to a playoff game. My oldest son, I'm like, it's one this Friday. He's like, I don't think I can come out because my girlfriend has people coming into town she wants me to meet. Just get married already, Harry. What's the difference? What are you doing? Yeah.
Well, her parents are coming down from Utah. So
that's fine. So 2 weeks in a row, you got to what?
All right. Well, I told you I'll work out. I'm working on it.
Fine. No, we don't need you. We don't need you, Harry.
Oh, stop.
It's fine. We don't need you. All right.
Love Archie.
There you go. We'll be back Thursday for spaghetti and meatballs and Babyface Joel Solomon, the degenerate trifecta. Oh, and Drew McIntyre. Check him out at the Barclays Center this Sunday, WWE Survivor Series. I'm Sal, saying so long and happy handicapping. Na, 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 na